Hello, Red Wave. Welcome to Boyer Bulldogs Podcast. Today, very special guest joining the show, Jake Crane from Crane and Company, has taken the time to sit down with the Nail Bros, another very special guest. Sorry, Cole, I won't forget about you. My blood brother, Cole Nail, on the other side of the country, along with Jake. So they made me wake up early for this one. Jake, thank you, first of all, for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time to, you know, share the love as he just got kicked out, I guess. I don't know.
There we go.
There it is. Well, I says, thanks for sharing the love with the G5 and coming on a G5 show and talk some ball.
Yeah, well, first off, I appreciate you guys having me. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. Appreciate what y'all do. Don't know how y'all do it, but y'all do it. Look, I played at a quote-unquote group of five school, coached at a group of five school in South Alabama for over half a decade. So, you know, nobody appreciates it more than me, and I think it gives me a perspective of, you know, having been in it and seeing the way it operates and, you know, growing up in a town like Auburn and being associated with that place, which, you know, is Power Five, obviously. It's an interesting perspective. I think it adds to the discussion. But look, football's football, man. It's like you're saying, remember the Titans. Somebody said football and I came a running. So that's kind of what we do.
Best football movie out there, in my opinion.
It's up there.
Yeah. Real quick before we get started, where can everybody find you? We'll plug you at the end as well.
Yeah.
And then tell us a little bit about yourself. You mentioned you're from the G5 world, coached. But tell us a little bit about yourself and where they can find you and what you're doing.
Yeah, well, you know, we do a sports show that pretty much covers everything. But, you know, there's a heavy emphasis on football for obvious reasons. It's me, my brother, who played at Western Colorado. Our other co-host, David Cohn, was quarterback at Michigan. Yeah, it's Crane & Company, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. It's really easy to find. Crane & Company. You can find us on social. You know, we're very fortunate to have accrued a pretty big audience so far. And we do live call-ins, have a live chat, and it's call it how we see it. I think it's more of your old school sports show. You know, we don't pick sides before and say, yeah, you argue this and then I'm going to argue that because that'll be the best. No, we just, you know, we have experience in it. It's like I say, I know four things and they all start with F. And football happens to be one of them. So, yeah, if you enjoy it and enjoy kind of the old school sports show, I think you'll have a good time. So yeah, I mean, we're just type in Crane & Company, you'll find it.
All right, man. Well, thanks for coming on again. All right, here we go.
Of course.
Let's do this. So a lot of talk going on in the G5 world, I should say in the college football world, about super conferences and not so super conferences, I guess you could say. But it looks as though, and I know, and I listen to you guys, you talk about it all the time, that we are moving to a Power 2.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's inevitable. It's going to happen. What do you, I mean, well, talk to me about that, but from a fan's perspective, what can we expect to see as conferences dwindle down and move to this, I don't know, Power 2, I guess. I'll just leave it at that. I want to get share from a fan's perspective.
Well, you know, obviously, I think it depends on who you're a fan of. But if you're looking at it from a 30,000-foot view of what college football looks like when this happens, you know, I think there's a couple buckets that, and there's some nuance here that you don't really hear people explain about. It's all just the meat and potatoes of it. We're not talking about the other stuff. First off, I do believe we're heading to two super conferences, which on one hand means that the more teams you add in a conference, the more conference games you're going to have to play. That's just the simple math, right? We see most conferences now are at a 9-game in-conference schedule. The SEC will be a 9-game in-conference schedule before it's said and done. They're at 8 right now, but that's going to happen. Now, on one hand, you look at that and you say, well, hey, if we get, they're not going to increase the amount of regular season games and make you play in a bigger playoff because they've pigeonholed themselves into this player safety, you know, argument. You can't sit here and say, oh, we care about player safety, but we're going to add more games to the postseason and the regular season. We're not going to go from 12 to 14 games. You may actually go from 12 back to 11 regular season games, which is what it used to be. And the way I look at it is, if we have two super conferences, whatever you want to call them, there's only going to be upper echelon teams in those super conferences. So in reality, you're going to get better games. You're going to get more really good games, really good matchups against the top dogs, right? Because again, you're adding more teams to a conference. You need to add more conference games to that. We can end up going back to like the COVID year where it was all just conference games for the regular season. And when you have 24 or 28 teams or 32 teams in a conference and you say, all right, we're going to play just 12 games within our conference, that's really just doing what we're doing because, you know, Oregon plays Georgia and the Chick-fil-A kickoff and Alabama plays Clemson or Miami. We're already kind of seeing that. But from the group of five perspective, the first thing we got to look at is before we even talk about splitting the group of five and the power five, we need to really put some schools that are in group of five that need to be in power five that have that capability like we saw with Cincinnati, right? Like we've seen with Houston, right? Fresno State's an interesting place. You look at that line and that cutoff between group of five and power five. There are some power five schools that don't need to be power five right now. There are some group of five schools that need to be power four, if you want to call it that now, whatever. I'm just used to saying power five. So I think we need to look at it and be able to slice it that way before we do anything. And then you sit here and say, all right, well, let's say we're on the side that is group of five after it gets split. Well, a lot of the money that we make is going and playing these away games against the quote unquote power four schools, right? That's a big check, whether you win or whether you lose. Well, to me, I don't see any reason other than, guys, we just have to play everybody within our conference for the regular season game, why you couldn't still have that game, right? That one game of the year that maybe outside of your Power 2 conference playing against a group of five. Or if they come down and say, listen, we're playing a 12-game regular season schedule. It's going to be all in conference. You can't play a group of five. I think there's two ways to kind of still help the little guy out a little bit. And when I say little guy, I'm going to get to what I mean by that in a minute because I think there's a lot of ego that drives this too on both sides. One, I think we should play spring games against different opponents. Playing a spring game against yourself, I've been in it, right? Yes, you get something out of it, but you could get so much more out of it if, let's say, Auburn played UAB in a spring game. Alabama played Troy. You can keep it in state. LSU plays La Tech, right? Texas plays Stephen F. Austin. You can still have that check. But you're playing against a school where you don't know the calls. You don't know what's going to happen by formation because you've seen it every single day. And you can truly go hit somebody else in a different jersey, which if you ever played football and went through a fall camp or a spring practice, that's the reward at the end, right? They say, guys, we get to the season, we finally can hit somebody in a different jersey. Well, some people say, oh, well, I don't want guys to get hurt. You have the same chance of getting hurt playing against your own guys than you do against other guys. This is football. Like, I always laugh when people say that. It's like, wait a minute. Like that. If we're going to thud, we're going to thud. If we're going to go full, we're going to go full. It doesn't increase or decrease the injury risk because you're playing against your team or another team, right? We've all seen that freshman that's trying to earn that spot come off the edge and accidentally hit the quarterback or hit his arm while he's throwing, and then the head coach freaks out, the offensive coordinator freaks out, the defensive coordinator has to freak out on the kid because he's got to make sure that nobody else does it. So to me, I don't think it increases or decreases the risk. The second option, if we do go to a 12-game regular or a regular season where you only play in your conference, is promotion and relegation. And at first off, when you say that, people are like, oh my God, that'll never work. And there's a lot that has to work out. Mainly, if I get promoted and I'm a athletic department that makes $20 million a year, and now I'm making $80 million a year, that's great. But what happens if I'm the athletic department making $80 million a year and I get relegated? Now I'm making $20 million a year. Like, how does that affect everything else? So I think that's an interesting aspect, but I still think it's doable. We've put out a proposal on Crane & Company for promotion and relegation that I think is very doable based on how you perform in the postseason. And again, you can go to Crane & Company and check that out. It has to be pretty tight, and it is, and pretty tailored. But no, there are ways. So just because we go to some sort of power four or power two and then group of five split doesn't mean that the group of five can never play a power two team or something like that. But, and you hear coaches, they're split, right? I've talked to a group of five coaches. Half of them want to be able to win their own national championship. Give us a group of five playoff. Let us have a legitimate chance. The other half doesn't. And I think the reason the other half doesn't, it's an ego thing, right? You don't want to be looked at as less than the coach here because you can't play in their playoff. I think a lot of that from a fan perspective is ego. Oh, we must be less than because we can't play in the Power Five postseason or the playoff. And I am all for giving guys opportunities, right? But the people that sit here and say, because it's the truth, if you're a group of five team right now, you are not winning the national championship. Especially, you got to win more games now. Like, with a four-team playoff, you had a whole hell of a lot better chance than a 12-team playoff. One, because you're not getting the bye. You're not going to be one of those first four. You can't. Legally, right now, you can't be one of those teams that gets the bye. So you have to play an extra game, which is going to make it harder. And anybody that compares basketball and football has absolutely no idea what they're talking about. Fairleigh Dickinson being able to make a run in basketball is because basketball is a totally different animal than football. Football is the ultimate team sport, right? And gravity takes effect more in a football game than it does in a basketball game. I watched Steph Curry leave Davidson to the Elite Eight because he was incredible. That's not happening in college football. You can have a great quarterback. You can have a great wide receiver, a great DB, but it's up front, really, is where the difference is. And over time, and that's not saying a one-off can't happen. That's not saying that Memphis couldn't go into the college football playoff this year and win one game, but they're not winning the national championship. Now, do I think Memphis is a team that should be Power 5 or Power 2 or Power 4, whatever the hell you want to call it? Yes, they have the capability, they have the base, and they have the money. Just look at what FedEx gave them to be able to make that jump. But just as an example, right now, as much as I love Seth Hennigan, I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit, I believe we do need a true power playoff and then a group playoff because the group of five teams, you're just not going to win it. Especially now that we've seen guys go up like Houston and Cincinnati and these other ones. It's just, it's getting harder and harder. It's just the reality of it. Nobody's saying you're less than. Nobody's saying that you're like the kid that gets picked last at dodgeball. We're playing the same sport, but it's a different game. It truly, and I've been in it. We lost to Tennessee by 7 up there when I was at South Alabama. We should have beat South Carolina when I was at South Alabama. But those two teams weren't very good Power Five teams, right? We're not going to Bama and beat it. It's just not going to happen. So, at the end of the day, I think it's the best thing for everyone.
Yeah, I think, okay, so for a long time, Cole and I have been saying G5 needs to separate. We need to have our own playoff. Just because we don't get that invite until Cincinnati got it.
Like, yeah, there's no pathway. They talk about us being the same league, but there's no pathway to at least seem like we have a chance at a championship.
I always say, I'm not a socialist, everything but a socialist. However, when it comes to football, I'd love to be a socialist where everybody gets the same opportunity, where Fresno State has a chance to play for a national championship. So you could say ego, yes. But since it's not going to happen, let's do a G5 playoff. And my example is Fresno State played Ole Miss years ago. Ole Miss was not good at the time. You talked about the difference being up front. Those guys were huge, huge. Not very good, and we struggled. Now, we beat Purdue last year, and people are going to go to this every time, you know, G5 beats a Power 5, and you explain that there's some that shouldn't be there. I mean, Purdue was last in the Big Ten, close to it. They're not good. So I do agree with you. There needs to be some discussion. I think Fresno State's right on that line of the discussion.
That's the most fascinating, Caleb. That's the most fascinating part to me of the whole thing, is if we did look at it and say, all right, who's wearing a mask? Who should be over here and who should be over there? Because you have to have parameters, right? You look at fan base. Fresno State's got a pretty big fan base, right? If you get the right amount of money that's pumped in there, you can find a way to do it. But they're like, you know, you have some that's just, it's not going to happen. Like Arkansas State, like, I'm sorry, but South Alabama's one I think could actually end up being Power 5 because of where they're at. But there's some that you're just, it's not going to happen. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No. Well, no, you make a good point. I don't know if you listened to Trent Dilfer, who's at UAB now. He made the case of, or he got asked the question, why are you coaching UAB? Oh, because he said they care about football there. As much as Fresno State wants him to be a part of the program, it is hard for us to pack 40,000 people, just reality, into our stadium every Saturday, especially after a loss. Because, I mean, I don't know exactly why, I can't figure it out. But West Coast football just, and the fan bases just don't get up Saturday morning to go crazy for football. So Trent Dilfer came out and said, I'm going to coach at UAB because they care. Mm-hmm. Not coaching the West Coast. So we could talk about that too. Of why people?
Well, yeah. I mean, look. If you don't care, then don't bitch about it. Like, that's the thing. Like, look,
right.
It's then why are we even sitting here? If you don't care, about old girl, why are you over here giving people grief for talking to her? You know what I'm saying? You either want to go to the dance or you don't want to go to the dance. I know you. And again, look, West Coast is different than East Coast. Like, when I grew up in the state of Alabama, like, if they played football on Sunday morning, people would not go to church. Like, they just wouldn't do it. Like, that's part of who we are. West Coast may be a little bit different. Now, there are pockets. I'm not saying there aren't people that you know, I know guys that are as passionate about football that I am that are on the West Coast and up in the Northwest. They're just not as many of them. Like, that's just right. The truth.
Right. So then what can the G5 do to gain the respect? Or put it this way. What can the G5 do to not hurt our egos to stay competitive? Because I'm not going to lie, I am going to be hurt the second that we're not able to compete for a national championship. And I'm not saying we're going to do well against Power Five, but it is going to hurt me to not be able to compete against the UCLAs, who we've beat the past four times in a row, which they haven't been good, but we beat them. We've been competitive with USC a couple times. You know, we beat Oregon State in 2002. It's a long time ago, but I would like to compete with them. We wouldn't get the opportunity to do that. I'd be a little upset. What do we do about that? I mean, I just got to suck it up.
Well, I mean, you have your own club. You can actually win a national championship. Again, I think it's how you frame it. It's not that you're not competing for a national championship. It's that you're actually competing for a national championship because there's a playoff that you can go win. Not only that you can get in, but that you can go win. And, you know, I think, again, there is a pathway for promotion and relegation. If we're going to be honest, Cincinnati basically did a promotion. Like, they made the playoff. I don't think it's like some unbelievable coincidence that a couple people were like, man, you know, maybe we need to pull them up. Like, I'm surprised North Dakota State hasn't been pulled up to Group of Five yet. You know, I think there's some daylight there. So when you go back to framing it as, oh, we can't compete for the top national championship, well, to me, that's like Auburn complaining that they can't win the Super Bowl. Like, you don't need to be in the NFL. You need to be where you're at. So if we do have a promotion and a relegation, you could actually get to that next level. There is a pathway for you to do it, depending on how they slice it and dice it. And I would think if you win the national championship in the Group of Five playoff, you should be promoted to the Power Five, right? So I think if you keep that pathway open, that kind of takes the edge off a little bit. But the first time, that just to use this example, that Fresno State makes a run through the playoff and wins the Group of Five national championship, people are going to be really excited. I don't think anybody's going to be like, man, damn, man. Like, this sucks. Like, I hate it. I hated watching us do that. Wow, watching us actually, it says national champions under the while Fresno State holds the trophy. You're not going to get that in Power Five, but you could have the chance to move up and do it. So I don't think you totally close that door. That's why, and I used to be against the promotion and relegation thing. I used to be against it. But when I actually sat down and went through it and saw the process of it and then realized, hey, man, there's some Group of Fives that need to be Power Fives anyway. Why don't we just provide a pathway to do that if they show the amount of success? And again, you brought it up. When it's going good for Fresno State, people show up, right? Well, maybe one way to keep elevating yourself is you win that Group of Five playoff. Now, all of a sudden, you're having to add seats to that bad boy for the next year because you're playing a Power Five schedule and you want to stay there. I mean, I think there's a lot of positives that can come out of it if you do it in the right way. But the way college football and college athletics have been going, expecting them to do it the right way, you can, you know, wish in one hand and do something in the other and see which one fills up faster.
Oh, yeah.
But Jake, what is real quick? I don't want to get too far into it because I feel like it's a never-ending rabbit hole. What's your, without media deals and bias towards teams, what's your ideal structure of the future of the NCAA football?
Well, I think, and again, by ideal, I like the Power Four. I like that. I don't, you know, I think we're going to a Power Two. That's what it looks like. Not that I would hate it, but I like the four-team structure, the four-conference structure right now. I think looking ahead, and again, I don't know how much time this would take. If we did move into some sort of Power Two super conference thing, which I'm assuming is going to happen, like I said earlier, I think you need a Power Five playoff. I think you need a Group of Five playoff. I think you need to have some sort of promotion or relegation structure. I think we are heading for a rev share with the players, regardless of whether I like that or not. And part of me likes it because you can have them sign a contract that makes them liable to stay at a certain place for a certain amount of time past 1 year, a one-year contract. Imagine if we did that in the NFL. Everybody was under a one-year contract. It'd be a disaster. We don't need to do that in college football. It needs to be at least 2 years. And if you leave, right, outside of the head coach leaving, you're in breach of contract and have to pay back the money you got in the rev share or any NIL deals you do. So anything at this point, Cole, to answer your question, that provides some rules, I'm a fan of.
Yeah.
I want some rules, man. Maybe that's me getting older. I don't know. But this whole, like, you know, summer of love that we're having in college football where it's like you can just do whatever you want. You can play 8 years. You can transfer here whenever you want. We're going to move teams that are in Palo Alto and Berkeley to the Atlantic Coast Conference, which is one of the top three dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. I would love to have some rules, some structure, some guardrails. So as long as we get to that at some point, I can make myself love it. But I will say the most important thing is that the on-the-field product right now is better than it's ever been. That's why college football is fine. Like the players are only getting better, right? The systems are only getting better. So as long as that's the way it is, college football will be fine. I just hope, you know, we're taking these big steps and we're having these big changes. I hope they learn from NIL and the transfer portal. You can't just let the monster run out into the village because he's going to start ripping villagers apart and then you can't catch them, right? Because right now, if you try and do anything legally, in any court that goes against the players, you are looked at like the Soviet Union. You're looked at like Stalin. Like you're sending people to the gulag. So I hope that when that college football breaks away from the NCAA, which they will, we actually have some structure and some rules so we can button this thing up. Not to be, you know, oppressive to players. That's not what I'm saying. There's a balance there that needs to be struck, but you can't strike balance if there are no rules. You can't strike balance if contracts aren't a two-way street. And at the end of the day, if you're going to look for the moral high ground, it's a great life lesson for young people that you wanted in the business, so you're in the business. You can't on one hand cry about not being in the business, and then when you get in the business, cry that there's a negative side to the business. I think it's a great life lesson for young people, and I think it'll help them out.
I agree. I was going to go back to your mention of FCS schools. There's a reason North Dakota State hasn't jumped to G5. They like winning championships.
Yeah. Well, on the show, South we said they've sippeth from the cuppeth. It's like now, once you taste that filet, you don't want to go back, right? Once you drink that good French wine, man, you don't want to go back to the Franzia, you know, the box stuff. That's, and fans don't want that. Like they're like, hey, we like being the big dog. We like winning, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right. We also argue. Go ahead, Cole.
No. I was going to kind of turn the situation. Go ahead and finish your
train of thought. No, go for it.
No, I was listening to some of your stuff when my brother said you were coming on. And I've heard you say, oh man, what did you say? Something in the realm of, well, you Group of Five guys, stop saying you're not going to watch this power conference because it's the best damn football anyways, right? Which, obviously, my pride, you're just like, oh, God, why, Jake? Why'd you say that? I mean, honestly, though, I don't know if I would watch it because one of the main reasons I watch college football, and I've heard Cone talk about this too, is, I mean, it's going towards, it's looking like it's going to be corporatized. It's just going to be this big corporate juggernaut, which, like, basically is the NFL, but not as good. So it's like the only reason I watch this college football is for this tradition, and my team's not a part of it. So whatever. I still have my good football and my fantasy teams for NFL. So I'll just ignore this part and watch my NFL and watch the lower tier Fresno State duke it out with North Dakota State, whatever. So yeah, I don't know if you comment on that. So,
well, number one, I'm coming from it like, you know, I love football. I mean, I don't care if it's the NFL or if I'm watching, you know, high level high school football, or hell, I recruited six man football in the state of Idaho. I just love football. So if football's on, I'm going to watch it. Obviously I have my favorite team, but I love the sport. I think it depends on the person, obviously, but if you're a diehard football person, and that's really who I'm talking to, because that's how I feel about it. Whether it's, again, I grew up in the state of Alabama. We didn't have an NFL team. I still watch the NFL because I love football. As far as college football being corporatized, buddy, it's been that way for a long time. Like, I love people like, oh my God, like now they're going to start making money. Yeah. But I see what you're saying. So it's funny. That was my biggest worry, is that, you know, you will lose that, not even like the college town vibe. It's that, one of the things that makes college cool is that, because I think the transfer portal is doing more damage than anything, in my opinion, for this reason.
I agree with you.
Player from, say, Los Angeles, California, big city, lots to do, chooses to come play football. I'll just use Auburn as an example. At a smaller place, there's not much to do. I don't care if you're from California. I don't care if you're from New York. I don't care if you're from Pyongyang. You decided to come play football in our little slice of paradise in the corner. That makes us family. You have an attachment to these guys because they made the same division. They love the place that you love. They love the thing that you love the most. So at the end of the day, it forms that bond. Well, if guys are there and it's just a turnstile where it's 1 year and then they're gone, you really don't have that same bond. You don't formulate that same, you know, love of that big time player from the big city choosing to come play where you're at. So that's the part to me that I worry about the most. And so, you know, I just got back from Starkville. I'd never been before. Starkville, Mississippi. Totally encapsulates what a college town should be. 100% does. So I don't think the brand and the name will ever go away. Now, when I go back to Auburn, it gets bigger every single time, right? So could something hurt that small town charm as more money gets pumped into these small towns and they get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? Every time I can go back to Auburn and get lost in the place that I lived for 11 years. So could that affect it? Maybe a little bit, but the corporatization of college football, it sounds bad. I don't love it. Like, I don't, you know, I'm not like, yeah, let's corporatize it. But look, I mean, let's go back to the BCS, man. I mean, let's go back to when newspapers were declaring Alabama national champions when they went 8-4. Like, yeah, there's more money getting pumped into it. This is a billion-dollar industry, man. It's been a billion-dollar industry. So it's been corporatized for a while. It just hasn't been as out there and in your face and as transparent as it is now. And to be honest with you, when you look at the NFL and free agency and stuff like that, I think right now, the transfer portal, there's less rules in the transfer portal than there is in free agency. So we've already gotten a little bit of taste of it. And the college football viewing keeps getting higher and higher and higher. And I get that you want to take a stand and you say, oh, I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to do this. Man, on Saturday, I promise you, and Alabama's playing Georgia at 2:30. And Fresno State plays a couple hours after that. What the hell else are you going to do? What are you going to do? You can go clean the garage? Come on, Cole. You know you're going to – you may watch like this. You may not tell anybody, but you're going to watch because you love football like I love football. And if there's a promotion relegation, that could maybe have an effect on Fresno State. So indirectly, they still got you. Like, that's what – and again, I go back to the on-the-field product, right? The on-the-field product is as good as it's ever been. The coaches are as good as they've ever been. So – I do push back a little bit on that. Not saying that everybody, that there won't be some people that don't watch, but it takes, outside of something like political happening, like vastly political, people are going to watch football. They just are. It's America. Back-to-back World War champs.
I told myself after Florida State got left out of the playoff, I'm not watching these playoffs. This is dumb. And what do you know? The whole time, like, I can't believe I'm watching this.
Oh God, I love it. I love it. Is the buffalo chicken dip done? Yeah, like that's believe me.
Oh God. Oh, go Washington! Come on, West Coast. Let's go.
Yeah, look, it's a great year.
Hey, well, DeBoer, we had to cheer for our coach.
Yeah, for we sure. did. And another reason why we have to cheer for Bama now. So,
God help me.
All right, Cole.
Look. This is what I say. This is what I say. Auburn hadn't sent me a check yet, so. You know, as long as you watch our show, I'm good.
All right. Well, let's talk about some teams from the G5. Now that, I mean, it's set in stone. What's going to happen this year? We got to deal with it. Who do you think has the best opportunity to represent the G5 in the playoff this year?
I think it's Memphis. I think Memphis is... You know, we can look at quarterback, right? You look at some of the skill players they have. That they have, you know, Hennigan's. I'm shocked somebody didn't go get Hennigan. Like, I want to make sure and give him his flowers, too, for staying there and riding it out. I know Memphis just got some of that FedEx money, so I think that helped out in the old NIL coffer, to be honest. But again, the reason Cincinnati was able to go is because they could handle it up front, right? That, like, over time. That's what made them competitive. I think Memphis is good enough up front. Silverfield knows that. And then when you blend that with the experience they have at quarterback, when you blend that with the depth they have as a team, I think they can make it through a regular season and be able to qualify. You know, if they're the only group of five team, if we get one, it's going to be Memphis. A lot of people are saying USF. And I like Golish a lot. I know Golish really well. I clinicked with him when he was up at Iowa State and I was at Iowa Western. I look at that schedule and I just think there's a bit, not that Memphis is playing an easy schedule, but I think Memphis has a much better chance with the way their schedule is set up to be the team that represents the group of five. Outside of that, when I look around and I look up front, there's really not many group of five teams, if at all, outside of the ones I just mentioned, that I think can, you know, go through the battle of attrition that is a college football season, which people don't talk about enough. It's not about your first 22. It's about your first 65. It'll always be that way because guys go down. But I look at Memphis, and I think they're a team that could really make a push, get in there, and maybe win a game. I think they could possibly win a game in the playoff.
You think that some G5 teams will be punished for playing in a soft conference like a Liberty?
I mean, yeah, I look at what happened to Florida State last year, and I don't see how, you know, if they're going to punish Florida State for losing a quarterback and playing in the ACC, how the hell are they not going to punish a group of five team? You know, if they don't, you have to run the table. I think if you're in a conference that isn't the upper echelon of the group of five, you have to run the table, and you probably have to beat somebody you're not supposed to beat. So, you know, another area that I find fascinating. Give me that dog. Manny's a big group of five guy.
Let's go.
Yeah, that's my Frenchie Manny. Yeah, I thought Fresno State, y'all would want a bulldog on here. It just makes sense. That's why when I look at scheduling, you know, if you're a group of five team, obviously going out and scheduling that one big opponent for the season is massive. Not two or three. I don't think you should go out there and schedule two or three because you're not running the table then. But go schedule one and see if you can catch one that's walking with a limp a little bit. You know, like kind of how Cincinnati caught Notre Dame. You don't want to be scheduling them when they're, you know, they're at their peak. You want to catch them when they're like at the beginning of that cycle of getting back up. I mentioned Tennessee earlier when I was at South Alabama. Or when I was at South Alabama, we went and beat Mississippi State, right? Because Mississippi State was trying to work their way back up after some changes. So, no, at the end of the day, I'm going to go Memphis. Gun to the head, I'm going to go Memphis. But, you know, there's always that one or two sneaky teams out there in the group of five that you look up and you're like, they're 7-0. And then you look at the rest of their schedule and they're like, man, they really can run through this.
I'll tell you who's a sneaky pick, and I may be extremely biased here, but Fresno State walks into the Big House week one. And, hey,
you're catching them at the right time. Yeah, Please do that. Because all anybody ever does is call into the show and congratulate Cone on Michigan winning the Natty. All we used to do before that was make fun of him for App State beating him and then them not being able to beat George, just getting ran through like a finish line. I will literally, Caleb, you need to send me some Fresno State stuff and I will wear it on the show all week before they play and I will be gassing you guys up. That could be your gift to me.
You might regret that, man. If we
no, they're going to call in and congratulate Cone anyway. It's like every fourth caller. They're like, hey, man, what's up? They're like, it's Pang from South Korea. Just wanted to call in and tell Cone congratulations on Michigan winning the Natty. I'm so sick of it. I'm so sick of it.
It's probably going to happen for the next 3 years. People are going to call in and do that.
No, with that, no. Listen, I'll be on my deathbed, and the nurse will be like, "All right, hey, we're gonna pull the plug. By the way, tell Cone congrats to Michigan for winning the Natty."
Please pull the plug.
Oh man, yeah. Okay, I will send you some gear. I'll get on it. And good.
Manny likes and, that.
Yeah, we're going to have to get a Fresno State dog sweater for him.
He was actually the celebrity puppy at the Starkville Derby. So he had a bow tie on and everything. Tell him, Manny. Look at this. Look at this handsome individual right here. Wow. Pure breed.
That's what we call animal torture, dressing up your – putting things on your animal.
Well, it depends. It depends. It wasn't too tight. He looked – he's a classy guy. He liked it. He also liked that – I understand why single guys walk around with small dogs now. Like it totally makes sense. I get it. I never understood it before, but now I understand it. They thought he was the cutest thing ever.
Yeah, you're talking to two farm boys, Jake. I don't
know. Look,
we bury dogs every other month. That's
I love it.
You know what? I'll add on. I'm interested to see, and some of our listeners may hate this, but Boise State is an interesting team this year. Five-star quarterback out of high school, transfer from USC, coming to Boise. I'm interested. I mean, we've had their number the past couple of years, and I would like for that to continue. But you know, they have some changes going on there as well, but I don't know. Also, just to add, so that something that you may not know, Jake, you probably do know, but Fresno State, I think it's like almost half of their schedule, we're playing first-time coaches.
Yeah, so it's wild. It works out like that sometimes. Look, I think Boise State's another one that can make that move up, you know, pretty easily. When I was coaching up there, we did a walkthrough at their stadium. I mean, it's ready right now. I mean, it's Power Five ready right now, in my opinion. But look, I thought it was interesting what Spencer said about the NIL stuff with the freshmen. I like the sentiment. I just wonder about the execution of it, you know, being able to recruit at a high level to bring guys in. You got to be in the market to get guys in the market. So I thought what he did last year was incredible. You look at the talent that he's accumulated. They're another team I'm keeping my eye on. I just worry about their depth up front a little bit this year. I think that's an area where, look, you have the five-star quarterback transfer. That's great. Got a couple guys on the outside you like. But on that offensive and defensive line, that's where you're going to be measured, weighed, and finally judged. So I think he was the right guy. It was interesting watching them move on from Avalos, kind of the way that went down after the hype that was there when he was hired. I know Andy's going to be fine eventually. But Spencer, look, Spencer's a genuine guy. I think one of the reasons he was able to do that is because he's not fake. I used to laugh at coaches that would go and try and recruit 18-year-olds and be fake to them in the high school at the hallway. It's like, dude, they see fake guys every day. There's nobody can smell a rat better than an 18-year-old that's being recruited. So I like Boise. I think they're going to have a good year. I'm interested to see down the road if Spencer keeps that mindset when it comes to NIL and freshmen. But Boise's always going to be relevant, not only in the college football sphere, but especially at the top of the Group of Five sphere. And they would be one of the teams that I think would be the first to make the jump when we sliced up the Power Five and the Group of Five.
I'm curious. This came top of mind right now. What – we have this in Fresno where Tedford doesn't allow any media to talk to guys that haven't played. How do you feel about that? Being in the media, also coming, you were a coach.
I understand it. Like, I like meritocracy, but I also, you know, understand the right to free speech. If the media wants to talk to a new guy, right? And I think we got to define played. Is he, you know, a five-star transfer that hasn't played a snap yet, but everybody's excited about him because he's going to be the quarterback going into the season. How do you kind of cipher that? But as far as having certain guys that talk to the media, that's what Nick Saban did. I never saw anybody complain about it, right? He did it with his coaches, let alone the players. There were some coaches he wouldn't let talk to the media. So look, it's your program. If you don't like the way I run my program, then pack your stuff up. your mom will still love you and she can come up here and get you. So I don't mind it at the end of the day, especially since we are going to the more, even more of the constrained business model of college football.
That's more of a legal issue now, Caleb, right? We know just as much as
Andy.
Anybody. Yeah, I mean, look, if one of them tries to go sue you because you don't let them talk to the media, what, you think that kid's going to lose that case? But again, like, you know, if you know that going in as a player and you still decide to go, then you made that choice. It's like the Deion Sanders transfer thing. I told you to transfer because you're not going to play. Then you didn't transfer. Now you want to cry about me not playing you. Like, I don't, again, this isn't Wonka's fed. The schnozberries don't taste like schnozberries, dog. Like, it is what it is.
Cole, you got any questions? Any more questions about G5 or how NCAA is running things? Otherwise, I'm going to move on and ask Jake about what he's doing right now.
Yeah, move on, Kale. Let's go.
Okay.
Thanks, I don't want to hold him too long.
Yeah. All right, real quick, Jake, the important stuff. College football video games coming out. Who's your dynasty team?
Look, I've already made my commitment to Kent State, the Golden Flashes. I'm taking over from where Sean Lewis left it. Pretty excited about it. Talked to many people up there. You know, we want to turn around. Want to turn around quick. Trying to scrape all the NIL shekels I can together. But now I'm so excited about this video game. And I haven't played video games in God knows. To be honest with you, fun fact. We just got one of our TVs to work that we can hook the Nintendo 64 up to. So we're going to play Mario Kart while we eat this breakfast casserole when I get off here, which is one of the best games that there is. But no, I'm super excited about it. Online Dynasty mode. We're going to have a sports media one. Then we're going to have a booster club one. That's what we call our audience. I just wonder how many teams you can have. Let us do 130, all the teams. Let us have all the teams in one Online Dynasty. Don't limit it. But no, I've made my commitment. To Kent State. Everybody's pretty excited about it. So look, I'm already trying to pay guys from the South to come up there, putting the staff together. I just got to beat my brother, man. He hadn't decided on a team yet. Cone's going Georgia Southern because he's from Statesboro. I understand it. But give me the Golden Flashes. What's that? It's a Golden Flash.
All I'm saying is I want to be able to talk to players that are not yet in the transfer portal, but I want to be able to lure them into the transfer portal. And because I know that's not happening, but I want to be able to do that.
No tampering. Look, do we have digital tampering? Somebody let me know. Like, who do I got to send? If I got to send a note on an owl's foot to somebody, like how do I do that? But no, it's going to be interesting to see how they handle the transfer portal in the new game. That's for sure.
Yeah. You also, thanks for playing along, but you, more importantly, you have been fighting for women in sports. You guys came out with a movie called Lady Ballers. Hilarious. Yeah. Great job, by the way.
Thank you.
We're in California right now. There's a man, a boy running in the girls' track state championships and just smoking the girls. But tell us about your fight. Tell us about your fight for women in the sports world.
Yeah. I think this is the absolute stupidest thing of our time. And we've done a lot of stupid stuff. I think this is why the aliens don't talk to us. Like the fact that we're even having to defend why men shouldn't play in women's sports instantly just makes everybody worse. Like we should be talking about stuff that's like way more important, you know, like what's past the Kuiper belt. Like how do we do time traveling? We're talking about dudes in women's sports. It almost makes me feel like Caleb, and I call it positivity bullying, all right? Bullying isn't a good thing, but one of the good offshoots of bullying is that I just don't know as a boy, like as a man, as a male, how you could be like, man, I'm going to go just run in this girl's track meet and beat him and not be horrified of getting absolutely made fun of to the point of you just have to go to somewhere else. Like you have to move. There's no shame anymore. There's no shame. Like it's disgusting. I think it's a mental disorder. I think it's a mental illness. Honestly, if you're that warped that you think that men should be playing against, and I'm not talking about like 4-year-olds playing soccer, right? But once you get old enough, there's obviously a difference. It's just, it, I've never met a person, honestly, Caleb, that deep down believes that men and women should play in the same sport. Like, that really honestly believes that. I don't even know if they really exist. I think it's a cult of politics. Since I'm on this side, I have to believe this. And the mental gymnastics you have to do to actually think it's okay, it's sad. I mean, it's sad and it's gross. Guys want to go in girls' bathrooms. Like, what are we doing? I just, at some point, I think it's going to turn around. I hope it does because it's the dumbest thing ever. But we have to keep calling it out because it keeps happening. So it's sad, and I hope it changes, and I'll call it out every time I see it. And if I got to be the one to make fun of you, I will, and I'll do it mercilessly.
What are you guys doing? Are you guys up to anything right now in that world?
We got some stuff cooking. The sad part is there's always content because there's something always happening in that realm. You know, some women are starting to wake up. But no, we're covering everything right now. We've got the playoffs going on, NHL, NBA, obviously college baseball, which is the most underrated sport there is. Honestly, speaking of women's sports, high-level women's college softball is really a ton of fun. It's my favorite women's sport to watch. We have that coming on. Obviously, college football never ends. There is no offseason in college football. And then the NFL, we're still great in draft classes. Had Jim Nagy on from the Senior Bowl the other day. So whatever you want to talk about, we're talking about, and we got some stuff lined up that I think people are going to like. And sports betting. We're always doing that.
Yeah. Should we follow you, though, on the...
Dude, we're up like 85 units as a group this year. I'm afraid to talk about it. Like, I'm really afraid to talk about it. One, I don't want to jinx this, and two, I don't want, you know, guys in suits and briefcases showing up to my house. Like, it's, you just go back and look. We have a Crane & Co. picks tracker. It tracks every pick. We're up like 80 units on. It's not even football season yet. So it's an O&O mindset, though. O&O mindset. That's the way it's got to be.
It's the only way. But you know, when football season comes around, it's not going to last. It's just how it works. You know football, it's not going to work out that way. You've been doing so well right now.
Yeah, well, we did so well during football last year. It was kind of inverse. We were even about till football season, then knocked out of the park during football season. This is why I don't want to talk about it, because I don't want the football gods to punish me, because I know they will, and I know they're listening at all times.
All right, so they can find you on YouTube, Crane & Company. Yep. They can subscribe on the Daily Wire on that platform. Mm-hmm. Jake, where can they follow you and see all your stuff as well?
Well, if you want to watch more, like I said, it's Crane & Company. It's on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, everywhere. Just look it up. If you want social media, it's easy. It's at Jake Crane _. Really, we're on Instagram. We're on Facebook. We're on Faceback. We're on InstaChat. We're on everything. All that good stuff. I'm the most active on X or Twitter, whatever they're calling it this week. So, yeah, we interact with everybody and have a good time. I appreciate y'all having me.
Thank you, Jake. I appreciate it. Go check out his stuff. He's everywhere. It's hard to miss him. Thanks, Cole. Appreciate you as well. Love you.
Yeah, thanks. No problem, brother.